And reading again this morning from the Gospel of Matthew from chapter 22. Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap him in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him, along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Let us pray. Gracious God, we are so grateful that you came to live and walk among us on this earth in human form, because we know that you know very well the struggles and the challenges of our life. We know that you understand how difficult it is to live in the world and yet not give in to the darkness of the world. Help us, O God, as your followers, to always shine the light of your love and grace as we interact with others. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. When our third son was 8 years old, he had a crisis and school was simply not working for him, so as one does when one has nothing else to do, we decided to homeschool him. Mostly, he could be left to his own devices with lots of books and music. But one day a week, I signed us up to participate in a homeschool group in our village. I sort of expected we'd meet up with other families with very bright children who didn't quite fit the system. You know, maybe some granola types left over from the 60s. Boy, was I wrong. All of them were conservative Christians who didn't want their children schooled in the ways of the world, so they removed them from the secular system. Well, we hung in for a few months, but I especially got tired of the constant fear with which I lived. Every Monday, en route to the meeting, we'd go over the list of things that Alistair was not to talk about with the group. Okay, Alistair, so remember, don't mention we watch South Park and The Simpsons, okay? And you know, sometimes when I get really mad and I say things to you that I shouldn't, don't tell him about that either. Don't ever mention Mummy drinks red wine. And it's probably best not to talk about our gay friends who come to dinner. Well, it was okay while it lasted. Probably better for Alistair than it was for me, as I constantly lived in fear that they'd figure me out. And they'd realize that I was one of the enemies who had infiltrated their sacred space, which they so carefully carved out for themselves away from the evil secular world. I've always loved Celtic prayers because they embrace the presence of the divine in everything from the milking of the cows in the morning to the washing of the dishes. There's that wonderful sense that you just can't build up walls through which God's Spirit can't worm his way. And Jesus, after all, we know, seemed to enjoy the company of prostitutes as much or more than Pharisees. So why the whole question anyway of this dividing line between allegiance to God and to the emperor, to things of this world or things of God's world? Well, let's face it, there has always been that question, hasn't there? As a church, we're constantly asking, what is our relationship to be with the world around us? Should we, as an institution, pay tax? You don't have to answer that. I know how you all feel. Are we as people of faith still accountable to the rulers of the world or just to the one we follow? We see this question played out from time to time as decisions are made about what issues should be dealt with in church courts and which are better sent to civil courts. And Ontario right now is dealing with a challenge to the funding for Catholic schools. So we can't be too harsh on first century Christians who were hoping they could perhaps bypass the whole allegiance to the emperor thing and the paying of taxes. Because we still like to think, over 2,000 years later, that perhaps we are special as well. But beyond that literal understanding of the question asked of Jesus, I think, is the more philosophical one about secular and sacred and how the two relate to each other. Forgive me for quoting Luther once again, but I think every 500 years he deserves a sermon or two. So in Luther's words, there's a normal pattern for Christian behavior. The person who's converted out of the world spends his first days as a Christian in a tendency to completely withdraw from the world, as Paul went to Arabia, for example. Or we might have a desire to be so far removed from the stains and the pollution of the world that we become monastic in our thinking, withdrawing, stepping out of the world altogether. But he goes on to say, a Christian doesn't reach maturity until he re-enters the world and embraces the world again. Not in its worldliness and its ungodly patterns, but as the theater and the arena of God's redemption. That's what Jesus did. He went into the world in order to save the world. This world is the world that God has committed himself to renew and to redeem, and we are to participate in that with him. You know, I want to be sure you understand this isn't just an issue that should be reserved for clergy. I've lived my life for 35 years now under the watchful eye of parishioners, some of whom, none of you, of course, take a keen interest in what I do in my spare time, what decisions I make about my life, my eating and drinking habits. And I have worked very hard, even when my life decisions haven't been popular with some, to be authentic, so that my public and my private faces are as close to the same as I can safely allow them to be. It's why I sometimes have been criticized by personnel committees, not yours, of course, about the shoes I wear to worship, about the length of my hair, and about the fact that I can't always control my sense of humor. And it's also why some people I have met at parties would never have guessed my chosen profession, which I always think is a good thing. But, you know, I think it's what is expected of all of us as people who are called by Jesus Christ to find that delicate balance between living in the world without being totally consumed by the ways of the world and not being so set apart from the world that there is no connecting point between us and those with whom we live our daily lives. And so I think we all should ask ourselves that question as we seek to witness to the love and light of Jesus Christ in our community, in our workplaces, in our interactions with family and friends. Does our faith inform the way we live our lives, the decisions we make? Are we able to live as part of a world full of evil and doubt and fear while shining a light of compassion and hope and truth? Are we comfortable with allowing others to know and to see that we follow the example of one who sometimes raises critical issues that are not popular with the world? And are we also comfortable with allowing others who know our faith commitment to see the human weaknesses to which we are all prone? I love it when I meet people in the community who talk about this church as a place where they feel accepted and welcomed and understood. I mean, my goodness, all you have to do is attend a Friday breakfast group once and you see more than enough authenticity to assure you that this is a place where you can just be who you are, right, folks? But we must always remind ourselves that it's an ongoing work, not just to be authentic ourselves, but to allow others that freedom as well. A freedom to be open about their life experiences and their faith. Some of us were talking last evening about the fact that my sister enjoys visiting me and hanging out at St. John's because she feels so comfortable and welcomed here, and as she has said to me, she can just be herself. It's a scary thought sometimes for me, actually. And that has certainly been my experience among you. We're all human, and we're in this crazy journey of faith and life together. With good humor and compassion, we will find that wonderful balance where we can intermingle sacred and secular so that one informs the other, one challenges the other, and so that in the most wonderful and mystical way possible, we can live our lives sharing all of our strengths and weaknesses, knowing that just as our God accepts us as we are, so too, as fellow Christians, we treat each other with compassion and with grace. Integrity is a lifelong challenge. Being followers of the light in a darkened world is not always a popular choice. But as Luther reminds us, this world is the world that God has committed himself to renew and to redeem. And we are to participate in that with him. Thanks be to God for those who show us the way.